Hey, listeners, you are about to experience one of our exclusive episodes recorded at Missionary in Jacksonville. We're excited about Missionary Conference. If you want to listen to all of the interviews that we've captured all at once before they premiere in the main podcast feed, we're talking conversations with Jim Renahan, Paul Washer, Conrad Mbewe, and more. If you want to get all of those now, go to missionspodcast.com/premium, and you'll be able to get them all in advance before anyone else does. And use the promo code MISSIONARY in all caps, and you'll get your first month of premium membership for free. So again, go to missionspodcast.com/premium. Use the promo code MISSIONARY in all caps, and you'll get it for free for the first month, and you'll get access to everything. And now, enjoy this exclusive episode from Missionary. Greetings and welcome to the Missions Podcast, the show that explores your hard questions on missions, theology, and practice to help goers think and thinkers go. I'm Alex Kochman here with Scott Dunford in the flesh, in person, and Chad Vegas, the one, the only, coming to you from Missionary Conference in Jacksonville, Florida. And we're joined by Chad today to talk about your talk. Let's just be honest. You're kind of the guy in missions. It kind of knows what's really going on.
Apparently.
We wrote about it
in this
little book.
That's why they call him Viva Chad Vegas.
That's why they call him Viva Chad Vegas.
Yeah.
We talked about it in the book a little bit, right? Missions by the book.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's some things happening.
Did you two write a book?
We did.
I imagine it's on sale here.
So you're typecast now. You have Seinfeld syndrome.
I'm typecast.
You're the guy.
I'm the guy.
You're the missions discernment blogger.
Who's brought in at my own conference even. Right? They still give me a topic I wish I didn't get.
What's wrong with you guys? Like, hey, at least you're in a good tradition.
I will say this. Even though, you know, Missionary was started by me and Brooks, and people would say, well, this is your conference. Why in the world are you doing a topic you don't want to be doing? It doesn't matter. I was assigned my topic. So I do the topic I'm assigned.
Aren't you also the board chairman at Radius?
I was the founding board chairman, but I stayed off the board now. I mean, okay. I'm on the board, but not as a chairman.
Yeah.
So now I'm just out teaching on behalf of Radius or Missionary, doing that kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they assigned me this topic, modern missions, what's really happening?
Yeah. So what's really happening, Chad Vegas?
It's such a vague title, right? I stared at the title for months saying, why did you guys give me this title? You know, I'm a pastor. I do preach the Bible. I don't just have to talk about...
We've heard you preach the Bible.
Yeah. I just have to talk about criticizing stuff. You know, like, here's your job. You exist to critique other people, right? But I guess that's the job I keep getting. So I decided with...
I mean, that's my job.
Yeah.
Wait, is that not my job? Never mind. We'll talk later.
You guys, Scott will appreciate, because it's clearly Scott's less comfortable with critiquing than I am.
This is true.
And you are.
This is true. You're saying the quiet part out loud.
You'll appreciate that. But
yes.
I decided I wasn't going to just come in and blow everybody up. I thought,
all
you
right.
know,
with
what
some
I'm going to do.
Nuanced Chad.
Yeah, yeah. No, well, yeah. The issue is that I thought.
California.
I've done so many talks critiquing DMM, obedience-based discipleship. You know, you go to honor, shame. Go down the list of the various topics that I've had to dive into over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I asked to, but because I was asked to, right?
Yeah.
Someone asked me to do it. In this case, they said, modern missions, what's really happening? I thought about the audience that will largely be here based on the speakers. I thought, I'm going to come at this differently. I can talk about all the janky things that, you know, pop evangelicalism is doing in missions. And I have a variety of concerns there from the orality movement. I might poke at that a bit, but to DMM, there's a variety of things.
Mm-hmm.
But the bigger issue for me is, if I'm answering the question in this audience, modern missions, what's really happening? Not much. Not much is happening. In this group of folks, they love to get together and critique what's not happening, what's happening incorrectly among evangelicals, maybe is the way to say it, and not actually do anything about it themselves. So my intent is to essentially say, I'm going to answer that question, not much. And then I'm going to talk about what we need to be doing.
And this conference is 80% pastors, Brooks shared with us earlier.
Really?
Yeah, I did not know that. Out now.
I find out about all kinds of things each day I'm here.
See, we're making connections.
I think that's exciting, though.
Yeah.
It's a great opportunity.
Really exciting.
So then how do we bring that message to that audience, right? Because I think there's a difference between a pastor who wants to send well, right, and be involved as a sender. But then you're right, there is this group of people who we really do just want to sort of armchair quarterback the whole thing.
Correct.
Sort through that.
Correct. Well, I mean, we'll see how I sort through it tomorrow night, right? I'm glad to hear that because my strongest words are actually reserved for pastors tomorrow. I thought to myself, I'm not as concerned about the sheep who are just trying to figure out what to do. They want to serve Christ. They want to get engaged in God's mission for the world.
Right.
That's why they're going to come to this kind of a thing. That's why they go to lots of these kinds of conferences. So you think, well, they're already into that, but they're not being led very well. So they end up in these organizations doing inadvisable things in missions. And you think, that's such a waste of their effort and energy and willingness to lay down their life for the gospel,
right,
being directed in areas of missions that are not the most useful, helpful, maybe even orthodox. And so what's the problem really? Well, the problem is the pastors who aren't actually raising people up and sending them, as much as they are saying, oh good, our young people went to Cross and came back fired up about missions, yeah, and now we got to do something with that. And they want to pat them on the back and write them a check and hope they don't do something stupid. And I think to myself, well, that's a really backwards model for calling.
It is.
So one of the things I tend to drive at with ministers is you're supposed to be calling out these people. You're praying to the Lord of the harvest to raise up workers for the harvest and then calling them out. So
Acts 13.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And sending them. So if that's the case, why are you waiting for the young people to go to the latest conference and get jazzed about missions and then trying to figure out what to do with them when they come back? And if they're irritating you because they keep at it, you sort of write them a check and smile at them. Why aren't you actively pursuing the young people in your church who you think should be going? Praying for them, approaching them.
Yeah.
What I like about talking to you about this is that you're not just a conference organizer, you're a pastor.
Yep.
Right? And you're a church planting pastor.
I am.
You planted Sovereign Grace Church.
I did.
And I'm very appreciative of the kind of missions work that you've seen develop out of your church. I'm sure that's something you're very grateful for as well. So what would some advice be for pastors out there who say, I mean, you've given some of it already, but like, hey, you're starting from scratch. You realize, hey, we've not been doing what we ought to be doing. Where do you even start?
Yeah, that's great. So I can give you the little short version, and then I can tell you about initiative I started with some other guys that's going to give a longer version of that. The short version is, I think the minister of the gospel, the pastors, the elders of a church, need to understand that the mission of the church is not given to individual members who happen to pop up and get excited about it after a recent conference. It's given to that church. And so it's being stewarded by those elders. And they need to be thinking about it that way. This is our responsibility. It's being stewarded by us. So I think the very first starting point is, this is actually our responsibility, not the college student, but it's our responsibility. And so we need to be thinking actively about that. Secondly, they need to be praying for it, right? I mean, Jesus tells us, pray to the Lord of the harvest to raise up workers for the harvest field. So we need to take that calling, that command to pray that way seriously. And so we need to be praying in our congregational services. Like you get together for a worship service. We pray for unreached peoples. We pray for God to raise up missionaries from our congregation. We pray for our current missionaries every corporate worship service. We pray for it Sunday morning and Sunday evening. We pray for it in our small groups. It's a part of what we do and building the culture of missions in our church. So that'd be a second thing. So the one is, your elders understand that. Getting elders to read books on this, talk about this, how are we going to engage it? The second is, are we praying for it in our church? The third would be, when I'm preaching through the Word of God, am I showing my congregation God's heart for the nations? that bleeds all the way through the Bible. I mean, let's face it. Yeah. It bleeds all the way through the Bible for a simple reason. The fall of man affects the entire world.
Right. Yeah.
And the promise of the seed of the woman is to come for every tribe, tongue, and nation.
Yeah.
So from the beginning to the end, this ought to bleed out of our preaching. So I need to not have a missions sermon once a year on a missions weekend. I'm not saying missions weekends are a bad thing to do. I'm not disparaging that at all. I'm saying it ought to bleed out of my preaching all the time. You know, and so that would be a third thing. Fourthly, I think the elders ought to be praying for young people in the church, young couples, young adults, and saying, who are the people among us that we look at and say, that couple or that person has real potential? And we should take them to coffee and ask him to consider this. Not wait for them to come to us. A lot of these people hear these messages and they never think to themselves, maybe that's me. But when elders sit down and say, we think maybe that's you, they're a little bit stunned by that. A fifth thing would be building it into your church membership. You know, you guys remember the whole purpose-driven Rick Warren Saddleback thing?
You
know, who's that? Remember we had the running the bases? First base was membership, second base maturity, third base was
class 101.
Ministry, right? 101, 201, 301. Home run was missions.
Yeah, you remember, right?
And the problem I had with that is somehow you could become a member in the church without being taught on maturity, on service, and on missions. Missions is like the home run member. What we really need is mostly members who hit singles. If we get members at doubles, that's amazing. But almost no member is going to hit a home run.
As long as they all tie, that's fine.
And I think to myself, that's a terrible model. Actually, with membership, I appreciate the elements Rick Warren wanted to have, but with membership, why is that all not included? And so we have 2 hours teaching on missions in our membership class, so every member coming in understands what we're doing and why we're doing it. I think that needs that in evangelism. How do you do personal evangelism? The 2 hours really are personal evangelism and missions.
That's great.
And we do personal evangelism for an hour because we have the responsibility as a local church to reach our neighbors. And we do an hour on missions because we want to train our church on what we need to do at, in the larger vision of God for the world. So I would say that's a fifth thing. A sixth thing is bringing in missionaries. Guys who come in and speak for like a missions weekend, luncheons. A seventh thing, if I'm at seven, would be like getting people to read missionary biographies.
Or watch missionary biography films.
Thank you. Thank you, Alex.
I wish someone would make one.
I should make a series of missionary biographies. So
like six.
So we did. We have six coming out. Films that'll be a small group study. So there's a leader's guide and student guide, so you can watch the film and you can do a Bible study. There's actually a daily study in there. And the idea was built in my mind around two things. I watched Brad and Brooks Buser recruiting so many young people into missions, and I started watching what they do. They do two things. They always tell these young people, I'm struggling, should I do this or not? And they always tell them two things. One, go home and read your Bible and pray. But read your Bible with your eye to God's heart for the nations and pray and ask the Lord how he might use you in that. Two, read missionary biographies. And I thought, what if we could combine those in a series of films where it's like, here's the missionary biography. Now here's a daily study around a theme we picked up from that missionary, historic missionary. And then here's a small group study where you can discuss that further. And so we sort of wrote it that way. We put it together that way. We're going to add to that series to teach biblical missiology. Alex actually shouldn't be shy about it. He wrote one of those stories.
I did.
No way.
So he did. He wrote the Hudson Taylor story.
That's right.
He wrote the Hudson Taylor story.
Beautiful.
And then we turned that into a script and filmed it. There are a couple other contributors besides Alex, but he was one of them. So we're excited about that, and that's what the conference exists to,
so great.
To launch those films.
It was funny. I was watching it, and I'm like, I remember
writing that
phrase. Yeah, like phrases you were saying.
Well, that was coming out of my mouth like
that's
I knew
right.
it.
I'm like, I wrote that.
That's something you wrote that I memorized,
wind,
and I said it, and I sounded like I knew it.
As a pastor.
What else is new?
I was just going to say, as a pastor of a church that is developing its mission program right now, I'm really thankful for that resource. I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
I think that's an easy way for people to engage with something that's going to be very interesting to them, but also take them further into that.
Well, so if you think about getting your church involved in missions, there's the inspirational piece.
Yes.
Which is what these films are really doing.
Yeah.
These aren't fully the sort of educational piece. Mm-hmm. They're getting you down that road. Mm-hmm. One of the things we plan on developing is a more biblically accurate, robust perspectives class. Mm-hmm. Because I do find perspectives has been very helpful for a lot of people.
Sure, it's especially, just a lot of bones to spit out.
What's that?
A lot of bones to spit out, though.
There's too many bones to spit out. Yeah. I want it to be a little bit more... It doesn't need to be like 15 weeks.
Yeah.
And it can be a little more focused. And so we're trying to develop that. So I'm working on that right now. There's a variety of projects that Missionary is working on. We put out a glossary on our website, and we're still developing more definitions and terms. And we're going to run lots of articles, videos. I've got to get contributors for those. So we're going to keep putting more material up. We're going to load that website with all sorts of resources.
Fantastic. If people haven't gone to missionary.com, you need to go. There's a lot of great resources up already, which I'm really grateful for.
Just started. And you notice Missionary changes languages? You notice the word?
I didn't notice
Missionary.
I saw the t-shirt in the bookstore.
Oh. If you look at the corner of the website, and if you just put your cursor up on Missionary, it changes into a bunch of different, it says Missionary in tons of different languages.
Neat. So you just play on the website. Just hang out and play.
We
with
do.
It.
We, yeah,
that's what Chad does in his free time.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, thankfully, I have people who do this. Yeah. I come up with ideas, and Stephen McCaskill makes them happen.
That's beautiful. He did a great job. Yeah. I want to come back to something you said earlier, though. Okay, and to go back into history and William Carey. One of the things that he deals with in his day and in his writings and inquiry is the conviction among the people of his day was that the Great Commission was only given to the apostles and not to the rest of the church. And he argues against that. But you said, you know, pendulums always swing, right? And you said something key. The mission isn't given to you as an individual.
Correct.
It's really not. And which, on the one hand, is freeing. Because if you personally, Chad, have to make disciples of all the nations.
Yeah, I'm in trouble.
You are in trouble. That's right. But the commission is given to ministers of the church, which in the immediate context of the text includes the apostles. But then it includes the ministers and leaders and elders of our churches today. Do you want to comment on that? Because I think that's so counter-cultural.
Yeah.
Everything's so individualized. Even the way that we market missions agencies tends to be very individualized.
Yeah. Without getting into the debate between Presbyterianism and Congregationalism, because
one
of the questions is, who gets the keys of the kingdom?
Yeah.
Right? Do the elders or does the congregation? I kind of want to say both. And what I mean by that is the apostles are given the Great Commission. That's clear. I mean, you just have to read the context
right.
just for a second, and you got that.
Yeah.
But they're the foundation of the church.
Right.
And the Great Commission, in some sense, is fulfilled by them. So some people bring that up.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, Paul says he went to all the world. Well, they did what they were given to do.
Yeah.
But the promise of the Great Commission is really clear. I'll be with you always to the end of the age.
Right.
The apostles aren't living to the end of the age.
Right.
So we understand it's going beyond them. They're the foundation of the church. It's passed to the church. And I think I would argue that those who represent the church or the stewards of the church or the elders. So I'm going to argue they hold the keys of the kingdom. But I don't really care how you break it down ecclesiologically. The fact is that it's come to the church. And the elders are the ones who have oversight of the church.
Yeah.
And therefore, they are the ones who are kind of the first and last stop for sending from that church, calling and sending. So we absolutely believe that. William Carey's fighting that. William Carey doesn't come to that conclusion on his own, by the way. We are actually working at Missionary on a potential translation project we're talking about right now. Fuchsius. B-O-E-T-I-U-S. I don't know how to say it.
No, you said it right, yeah.
Did I say it right?
You did, yeah.
Great. He actually wrote a missiology in the 17th century prior to William Carey. It's the first Reformed missiology we know of. It's not been translated, and we just contacted and built a contract with the translator. William Carey actually references that. He was reading that.
Oh, wow.
And,
how cool is that?
So we contracted with a translator, and we're working on potentially translating that work. So that would be a Dutch Reformed missiology written in the 17th century. Wow. Because there is a group that comes out of the Synod of Dort. Most people don't know this. So if you read the canons of Dort, the gospel needs to be proclaimed promiscuously in all nations. Canons of Dort 2.5, right? Head of Doctrine 2.5. So they actually started a mission sending training agency right after the Canons of Dort in Leiden that went for 11 years, and they trained people to go to unreached languages or peoples. Mm,
that's incredible.
It went on 11 years. Antonius Willaeus was involved with that, and we don't even know about it. It's like lost history.
I've never heard that.
Lost history.
Yeah.
Coming right out of Dort.
Wow.
But there were scandals that came out of it because they went with the Dutch East India Trading Company. They went out. Okay. And then that trading company did a lot of scandalous stuff.
Sure.
Some of the missionaries got caught up in that, and that became the end of it.
Okay.
But Fuchsius writes a missiology in his church book on the church and church planting.
Yeah. Wow.
William Carey's reading that. So I want to get that in English.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we all need to see it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. William Carey read that.
And I think that reorients you as a pastor to not just say, hey, here's a general challenge for all of the congregation. Go make disciples. It's up to you in the quiet of your heart how you're going to do that. But rather to say, we as the shepherds of this church are accountable for our whole church, both formally and informally with a program, to make sure that we're contributing to this global task. And that's a different mindset, but it becomes much more intentional.
I think that's exactly right. And it's really important. So that leads to the longer-term initiative I'm doing. Greenville and I started a program that's going to will be announced at this conference. We'll call it Missions Midweekers. You know who we're playing off of there. And that's intentional. Missions Midweekers, but it'll be a Tuesday through a Thursday. And we're going to train ministers. The idea is elders, deacons, ministers come, missions team leaders. And we have a 3-day training on how to build a sending culture in your church.
Fantastic.
So,
well, we've decided we like Jonathan Masters.
And we did like
great. We made him an honorary Baptist.
Yeah. Good. He used to be a Baptist.
Did he really?
He did.
So, many such cases.
Former Baptists make good Presbyterians.
They make the best Presbyterians. Yeah. Well, the because you have to fight to get there.
Yes,
it's like you're convinced because you're not going to blow up your whole life over something you're not convinced about. So, right? As speaking from someone who did it.
Yeah.
So but I do think that's not going to be only for Presbyterians, that training.
That's the beauty of this, actually. Yeah. Could you just speak to this? Because I wasn't going to go here, but, you know, we're a Baptist show, okay?
Sure.
But what I love is you happened to change affiliations, and you happened to shift on one issue. You're more passionate about missions, fair to say. You're more passionate about the mission of the church than just one particular narrow doctrine. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, well, let me...
I don't want to minimize
it. I know. I'd rather quote Ian Hamilton.
Yeah.
Ian was talking the other day about this. And he says, very passionately, because we're very close, and he's a bit of a mentor for me, and he says, Chad, we don't belong to a confession. We belong to Christ. Yeah. And the Westminster Confession didn't die on the tree for you. Jesus did. And I said, that's right, Ian. That's right. And that's why we don't get overly hung up on those things. Now, Ian is a Uri Divino Presbyterian. He believes it is divine law from God, right? And he understands that the banner that we wave is not Presbyterianism or Baptist. Like, we're all waving our church polity as our banner. To be a Baptist is essentially to make a polity decision.
Yeah.
To be a Presbyterian is to make a polity statement, right? That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're not waving that as our banner. We're waving Christ as our banner.
Amen. We need that. We need more of that. Thank you for saying that.
Yes.
And I'm sure they can listen to your talk after it drops. This will premiere after the conference is in the rearview mirror. But for those of you that are following along, continue to follow the Missions Podcast feed for more content from Missionary. Also follow us on YouTube. And by the way, we haven't mentioned this yet, but you can get access to more exclusive bonus behind-the-scenes content at missionspodcast.com/premium. Get our bonus episodes, join our Signal thread, some great networking happening there, as well as our regular quarterly live streams that we do. And we want to invite you to be a part of that community. And so use missionspodcast.com/premium. Use promo code missionary, and you'll get a discount on your initial subscription there. And so from all of us here at ABWE, we'll see you in our next episode. Go make disciples of all the nations.